What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on? It's Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri on this Thursday edition of the show. Gino, what's going on, my man?
Not much, man. Good to have you back.
Yes, sir.
With Bill Rossetti from Locked On Panthers yesterday. That was a good pod. Everybody should check that out. We had some good insight to that game, but it's good to have my fellow Eagles fan back in the booth with me.
Absolutely. I love talking to the guys on Crossover Wednesday about the other teams, but they can't share in my love for Rasul Douglas like you can understand, or my frustration with the Jalen Mills double moves like you can understand. So good to be back in studio. If you missed Gino on Crossover Wednesday with Locked On Panthers, that is up on our podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere that you want to subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your pods from, Locked On Eagles is available on there. We appreciate everyone listening to the show so far throughout the season. Please go in, subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star review. Comments are always good. We love the listener feedback. And again, I said it last week, if you have anything you guys want us to cover, me and Gino record at least 5 times a week. So if there's a topic about the Eagles you want us to hit on, hit us up at DiBiaseLOE or at Gino_LOE. And Locked On Eagles officially has our Twitter account up and running. It's at Locked On Bird. So you can reach us at those 3 accounts. And me and Gino always roaming around on Twitter. You know, we record 5 times a week, but then if you need to reach us 24/7, hit us up on Twitter, again, at DiBiaseLOE, at Gino_LOE, and at Locked On Birds. Coming up today on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're going to get into some more talk of the matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Carolina Panthers, a 3-3 Eagles team up against a 3-2 Panthers team. This is going to be an even one. Another big test for this Eagles team. The Panthers coming off a tough loss against our NFC East rival, the Washington Redskins, whereas the Eagles coming off a big win on Thursday Night Football against the New York Giants. So we're going to get into some matchups to watch for today, how these two teams have kind of exchanged really dominance in the NFL. Each year they've played a lot over the past 4 years, and it feels like each year they take turns being the really good team. So we're going to get into that, and then I put up a poll on Twitter. Go vote, again, at DiBiaseLOE. Both of these teams got elite defensive players in the 2012 NFL draft, with the Panthers taking Luke Kuechly 7th overall and the Eagles taking Fletcher Cox 12th overall. And thank God, by the way, the Chiefs selected Dontari Poe, so we have Fletcher Cox. So thanks to the Kansas City Chiefs for taking the other defensive tackle, which got us Fletcher Cox. So both teams got 2 elite players. I put up a poll with these two teams playing this week. Who got the better all-pro player? The Panthers and Luke Kuechly, or the Eagles and Fletcher Cox? So go vote for that. That's up. It'll be up and running for a couple days up until the game. Just curious to get your feedback on that. But first, Gino, I want to get into what I mentioned before that. And it's really kind of an interesting dynamic between these two teams. Whereas you go back, I'll go all the way back to 2014, where the Eagles were, it was the second year of Chip Kelly, right after that great 10-6 wild card run where Nick Foles threw for 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. The next year, the offense it was a bit sloppy to start, but they were still winning football games. I think they were 5-1 at some point, and after the Thanksgiving game against Dallas, they were 9-3, and in between there, they played the Carolina Panthers after Nick Foles went down. But it was at the point, remember, where Mark Sanchez was on a hot streak. Mark Sanchez looked really good. Gino, I actually remember at one point, Dave Spadaro, I mean, of course, he does write for the team, so it's a little bit different when he talks about it. But at one point, Dave Spadaro was talking about Mark Sanchez being the face of the franchise. I mean, that we lived through that, and thank God we're not through that anymore. I mean, do you remember all that?
I watched him get absolutely embarrassed against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Shortly after 2015. The Panthers game. Sorry, that was the Bradford year. Yeah.
What an embarrassment. I'm so glad we are on to bigger and brighter things at the quarterback position, even just with a backup, because I could not stomach watching Mark Sanchez one more game. It's really a sham that he went to 3 AFC championships, but man, I'm glad we're on to bigger and better places with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz and even Nate Sudfeld. I said today on Twitter that after the Bills announced they were starting Derek Anderson, that I would take any of the three quarterbacks the Eagles have over Derek Anderson. So that's just,
ooh, I like that.
It just shows the culture shift and how much this team understands how important it is to develop quarterbacks and not rely on street free agents like Mark Sanchez to be your plan B.
And the thing with it too, which was so funny though, like we talk about that and that all makes perfect sense, but at the time, Mark Sanchez was playing really well when they played this Carolina Panthers team. He was hitting Jordan Matthews in the slot his rookie year. Jordan Matthews, remember, when he was the number two behind Jeremy Maclin that rookie year, he really got going. It was right after that Washington game in week three when he scored a couple touchdowns. He got going. Sanchez was hitting Jeremy Maclin. LeSean McCoy was having a big year once again, as he always did. And it was crazy because the Eagles at the time were a really good team with Mark Sanchez under center. I mean, they did miss the playoffs, but they went 10-6. Meanwhile, the Carolina Panthers were just not nearly the team that they were just a year later, where then they kind of changed. They went back and forth really with this throughout these past few games with the Panthers. In 2015, the Eagles were the team. They overhauled the offense. Sam Bradford was the starter at quarterback. They just weren't really a threat to beat a team like the Panthers, who, remember, at the time were undefeated. And they went on to go all the way to the Super Bowl, losing to the Broncos that year. And then we go to last year when they played again, and then it was the Eagles' turn. They got into the Super Bowl and won it. And when they played each other on that Thursday night game, it was really when the Eagles took off. Remember, they got to 5-1. That was the mm-hmm. first really good team that they beat, because remember, you know, they beat the Redskins, and they beat the Giants and the Cardinals, but they hadn't really defeated a true test, and the Panthers were that first one. So it's just an interesting dynamic how these teams went back and forth with being the really good team in the league in that year that they played each other. And now this year, it's interesting, 1-3-2, 1-3-3. This might be the most evenly matched up that these two teams are to each other since they've played all of these games against each other from 2014 to now.
Yeah, the one team, or actually one of the two teams that I said yesterday, and I've said this to you in the past, that I absolutely cannot stand playing, and that's the Carolina Panthers, because, right, like you said, it either, one, is a very tough battle like it was last year, or it's just complete domination on either side of the ball, and it still hurts deep down, that 0-4 NFC Championship game where we scored 3 points. It still disappoints me, but I think this is the game that, much like last year, they're really going to stick their foot in the sand and say, we're the better team. Like, this is the game you come out and really solidify that and say we're back. A lot of people are saying they're back after last week. Still have to take into consideration that it was the Giants that they played, but now you have a good team in the Carolina Panthers who have a very good defense and a pretty tough offense to handle. And if you could beat them, this is going to, I think, going to be one of the games that people are going to look back later in the season that said this is really what got them going.
I'm with you. It's kind of like last year where it is. It could be that turnaround game or just a statement game. And I've been high on the Panthers for a long time. I've always been high on Cam Newton. I'm not a big college football guy, Gino. I use it for the draft more so than just as an actual fan. But that year he was with Auburn was the one time I watched college football every week because I was watching him at Auburn. And I think I've picked the Panthers to win the Super Bowl the past, like, 3 years before this year, even last year. I didn't expect the Eagles to go all the way. I thought Carolina was going to be the team in the NFC that got there. This year, too, once again, I would not be surprised if they pulled off a run. I mean, they're built similar to the Eagles, where they have great coverage linebackers. They're dominant in the middle of the defensive line with Kawan Short. You know, you have a big, fast, mobile quarterback with a big arm and Cam Newton. Underrated weapons when you look at it. The Eagles last year, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, and Zach Ertz, with your running backs, that was probably the most underrated tandem of offensive weapons in football. And this year with Carolina, they've built it pretty good as well with Christian McCaffrey, obviously, in the backfield. DJ Moore, their first-round pick at receivers, made some big plays this year. Curtis Samuel, their third-round pick a couple of years ago out of Ohio State, kind of a burner, a great run-after-the-catch, fast receiver. They got our guy, Torrey Smith, now at receiver as well. And then
I don't know about my guy. Not my guy, I'll tell
okay,
you that.
Okay, all right. I love Torrey Smith. Look, not on the field, he wasn't an electric, he wasn't the player that we thought bringing him in, but you know, his kids were cool and he was a great Twitter follow. He caught some memorable plays. I mean, the flea flicker in the NFC Championship game. So as as bad as he really was last year, I'll always appreciate Torrey Smith because he did make a couple big plays, and he was, I don't know, he seemed like a fan favorite last year, so I'll go with that. Not a lot of people are salty at Torrey Smith last year for his performance just because of the kind of guy he was with the Eagles, but, you know, you have him as well. He's really like the fourth or fifth guy option in that offense because then, too, you have Devin Funches, who's the new Kelvin Benjamin. He's an upgrade over Kelvin Benjamin, the big-bodied outside receiver. To go with him, talking about big bodies, Greg Olsen's back as well. So the Panthers have a lot of weapons, and again, they remind me of the Eagles team last year, whereas if the Panthers get this win, I wouldn't be surprised if they get rolling. This, again, like you said, I like it. It is kind of a statement game for these two teams. Who's the one that's going to declare that they are the serious contender in the NFC? It's a really interesting matchup, and yeah, again, the Eagles, look, they beat the Giants, and it was great to get that win. They looked like the 2017 Eagles again, but this is a big test. These next two games against Carolina and Jacksonville, this is where we'll see what kind of team that the Eagles are. But look, the Panthers are a perfect example of how hard it is to be consistently dominant in the NFL. I mean, right, Gino? You look at, so the first couple years of Cam Newton's tenure with the Panthers, they weren't really a playoff team, but then they get a first round bye. They don't get a playoff win. They lose to the Niners, right? Then they end up getting a playoff win the next year, although it was against Ryan Lindley. That happened. And then they get to the then they get to the Super Bowl. Then they kind of they miss the playoffs. They take a step back the year later, and then they're back to making the playoffs last year. So look, the Panthers just that's what goes to show you. I mean, we've been declaring the Eagles as the next potential dynasty. I know some fans have, because the Eagles have that kind of window right now. But the Panthers and the Seahawks, they're good examples of, look, who knows how long this window is going to be open. But the good thing is the Panthers have always been good because Cam Newton's always there. So even if they take a step back one year, you still have Cam Newton, you're going to get back the next year. And the Eagles have that same dynamic with Carson Wentz. So it's just the Panthers remind me a lot of this Eagles team.
I think you said it perfectly, really. I'd like to think of the Panthers as the NFC's Kansas City Chiefs. Like, they're always either in the playoffs, they make a deep run, get to like the championship game, or they miss out, and then the next year they're back. I think that's like, they're two equal teams in that regard. But in regard to on-the-field play and the story of the season for these two teams, I think they are very, very similar. There was a stat that was put out the other day. I will credit Michael Kist for tweeting it. It said that the two teams with the biggest differential in explosive plays allowed versus explosive plays that they've completed, the worst team in the league right now is currently the Carolina Panthers, and the second to worst team is the Philadelphia Eagles. I just saw a tweet from ESPN Next Gen Stats that said Carolina only targets wide receivers down the field more than 20 yards 13% of the time. So
they're very dink and dunk.
Very dink and dunk. And you can
they've actually, I looked at the stat. I was looking at Cam Newton's numbers before the show. He's been under 7 yards per attempt. Yards per attempt. He's been under seven every game except for one.
Yeah, and that's a lot like Philadelphia. I mean, there's, neither team has a consistent deep threat, I would say. I mean, Torrey Smith,
right?
He was in Philadelphia last year for that reason, but we saw it. He wasn't consistent. You couldn't rely on his hands every single time you put the ball down the field. And he, early in his career, which is kind of crazy to say because he's still a younger player in regards to the NFL, but earlier in his career when he was with the Ravens, you could rely on him to get downfield consistently, and he's kind of fallen off in that regard. And you have to look at Philadelphia. What do we have? We're having Jordan Matthews run straight down the field every time, and that's not going to be a consistent way to win either. So there are two teams that struggle in stretching the vertical element, but when you get before 20 yards, they're very similar. You have big-bodied wide receiver in Alshon Jeffrey. You have a big-bodied receiver in Devin Funchess. You have a very quick scat-back type receiver in DJ Moore. You have a very quick scat-back type receiver in Nelson Agholor. You have good backs that can catch out of the backfield with Christian McCaffrey. You have good backs that can catch out of the backfield with Corey Clement. You have two offensive lines that aren't playing to the best of their ability right now. Carolina has their left and right tackles out at the moment. Philadelphia, Jason Peters cannot stay on the field consistently, and they're not who they were last year. And at quarterback, you have two guys that can both win and lose games for you. You know, so it's, I think they're very two similar teams on offense in that regard. And then you look on defense, like you said, two very good interior defensive lines. Fletcher Cox and Kawan Short are two of the top 10 defensive tackles in the league. Then you look
both
at
both guys
the
are not nearly talked about how dominant they are either. I mean, they're both underrated in their own right, too.
Agreed. I say Kawan Short's right in that Grady Jarrett type area that they're top 10 guys, but they're underrated just because there's so many dominant defensive tackles in the league now.
Right.
So it's tough to really identify. I mean, it's not tough to identify it, but if you want to get the praise, you have to be the best of the best, really. And even Fletcher Cox, who is a once in a generation type talent in regards to that position, he's getting the praise he deserves because of Aaron Donald, you know? So it's tough, but we know how good those guys are, and both teams have shaky interior offensive lines. We saw that with Isaac Seumalo coming in, even though he has played better, but linebackers are similar. Luke Kuechly's obviously an all-star. Cornerbacks are super hit and miss on both sides. Their safeties are up and down. They had to bring in Eric Reed due to injuries. We're up and down in safety, so these two teams on paper match up very well. I think they're very two similar teams, and it's just going to come down to who gets less penalties and who can get into the red zone and score, basically.
This broadcast is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. Vivid Seats helped me get to my first Eagles game last year on Monday Night Football against the Redskins, and I'll never forget that experience. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. And Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code Locked On, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more if they are a first-time customer of Vivid Seats. So go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code Locked On to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. All Vivid Seats Confirm orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. We thank Vivid Seats for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. We're into Eagles-Panthers week as the 3-3 Eagles try to get to 4-3 before they head to London to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Gino, some matchups to watch in this one. We were talking on the first segment how these two teams have kind of went back and forth with being the really good team of the matchup, whereas this year it really seems like they're evenly talented right now, just very evenly matched up. We were talking about how, I mean, you went through it. Fletcher Cox and Kawan Short, very similar. How good the coverage linebackers are. Cam Newton and Carson Wentz. But the one matchup I want to really touch on here is the Eagles secondary against these Panthers weapons. Because I feel like the Eagles match up well, but it depends. It's, again, it's a matchup-based thing here with this Panthers offense. How the Panthers decide to use their personnel, you know, on the outside with Devin Funches and DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. They're all very different types of receivers. You know what I'm saying? Like, Devin Funches is a bigger receiver, a guy that he's more like Alshon Jeffrey, whereas, like you compared, DJ Moore is more like Nelson Aguilar. I think it's interesting, and I'm going to be posting an article on the.com. Check it out, lockdowneagles.com. I'm posting something about how the Eagles should use Rasul Douglas more this week. And I know, shocker, I'm the leader, basically, of Rasul Hive.
You have a good reason
you know.
To be.
But yeah, and it's not... Look, sometimes people think you're saying about that player because you're biased towards them. Well, no, my bias towards them is my belief in them as a player. It's about their talent. It's not the other way around. So, you know, Douglas, to me, is a guy that has continued to progress throughout his Eagles career. And look, I looked at the tape last week, and, you know, he wasn't asked to do a whole lot as the single high safety. Yeah, and, you know, not even just a single high safety. A lot of the time, Malcolm Jenkins was back there, too, playing cover two. Douglas played pretty well in his first time at safety. I thought he took the top off Odell Beckham a couple times. He nearly came down with that interception. What I want to see this week from the Eagles is Douglas really keening in on Devin Funches. And I don't know if they're going to do it. They're probably not going to move Darby off the left side if Devin Funches is on the left side. But Douglas is a player that whether he's at safety and it's in a cover three or cover two and he's watching Funches over top in case there's a jump ball, because, Gino, we both live in Buffalo. I saw Darby with the Bills just get attacked and attacked and attacked when Kelvin Benjamin was on the Panthers. There was a preseason game where it happened, and then a regular season game as well, and Darby just could not. You know, Darby's athletic, he's fast, and I trust him in coverage for the most part, but against a guy like Devin Funchess, this is a matchup-based thing that I don't know. If Devin Funchess is on the right side, maybe you move Mills inside with Maddox as the safety instead, or Mills entirely might not play in this game because he's dealing with a hamstring injury, so they might have to play Douglas. But I just remember last year, Douglas against this Panthers team really had probably his best game as an Eagle. You know, they gave him a lot of freedom to press at the line, and he made that great interception off of a jam of Devin Funchess, got in front of him and picked that ball off. He made that great stop in the red zone on a fade to Kelvin Benjamin. I just think Rasul Douglas should be used, whether it's, again, as a safety or as a corner. I think he should be used almost as a matchup-based guy to go after Greg Olsen and Devin Funchess. I think this is the type of game that you're really glad you have someone like Rasul Douglas, because when Funchess is on the left against Darby, that matchup kind of makes me a little nervous. We saw Funchess score a touchdown last week where in the red zone, one-on-one, he's just taller than the cornerback. He just went right over him and caught that touchdown. And so when they get down to the red zone, which the Eagles like to give up a lot of yards, I feel like Rasul Douglas is going to be better fitted to stop Devin Funchess. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's funny that you hit on Devin Funchess. He was actually one of the 5 wide receivers I had to grade in the Scouting Academy, which I just actually passed my first part of.
Congrats, my dude.
Grading wide receivers. Yeah, it was a surreal experience. I spent about an hour and a half talking to Dan Hatman yesterday, ex-head of scouting for the Eagles. It was a very cool experience. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think Funchess is a very good matchup for Jalen Mills, and I think you have a right to be worried when Darby is on the ball with him, because he's a very, very physical wide receiver. He has very good balance. Smaller corners don't have the ability to knock him off his line. He's very good at manipulating the hips of defenders. So the one thing I will give Darby is that he does have very good closing speed, which favors him, because on comeback routes, Funchess doesn't tend to drive back towards the football. He tends to stay in position. He doesn't, like you want to see good receivers, as soon as they turn their head, they make a couple steps towards the ball, then they drive back upfield. Funchess will wait for it. So when Darby's on him, that is one plus, is that he can close on him very well. But when he's on the other side of the ball with Jalen Mills, which I think is basically the same as a Rasul Douglas type play style. They're both more physical corners. They play well against bigger corners. Bigger corners have good success on him when they jam him. One, because he's not great to readjust after a jam. He doesn't have the quickest foot speed to get back into his route. So bigger corners, if you can press them like they were doing last week, I think it's a good matchup.
And that's what they did last year to these two guys as well. I mean,
exactly.
Benjamin's not on the team anymore, but the same type of receiver, Benjamin and Funchess, Douglas was on the line getting his hands all over those guys almost every time there was a unless it was a situation where they were playing deep cover three. They were really putting Douglas up on that line. And what you were talking about, how Funchess doesn't come back to the ball, Darby has that closing speed, but Douglas, too, is really good at jumping routes, right? I mean, and he's got the length, too, to get his arms in front. He doesn't have the speed Darby has, but he's got the length to jump those passes and make a play on the ball, which we know Douglas is really good at. So, and I don't know. He's probably not going to play on the outside unless Mills is hurt, but you know, maybe if there's a time where Funchess lines up in the slot, maybe instead of having Maddox down there, you put Douglas down there and throw Maddox at safety. I just think there's certain matchups in this game where Douglas should be used. And also, look, if he's playing safety, he's going to have to make tackles. He's not going to be able to take the angle that he took on Saquon last week. He's got to be able to finish tackles, especially because on the left side, look, Darby's not the best tackler. The Panthers like to do a lot of horizontal stuff where they're going to use screens, counters, a lot of misdirection, and I think they're going to target sometimes Ronald Darby's side, and Douglas has got to make sure that's the side he played on mostly last week. He's got to make sure he finishes tackles, and he was good at that pretty much throughout his Eagles career so far. I think Douglas has been a strong tackler, but the angles is something, now that you're a safety, there's a different way to tackle at safety than it is a corner. But I just thought it was an interesting matchup that not even just him, but again, Darby against DJ Moore is going to be really interesting because Darby, he's going to be your speedster. You're going to want him on Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore and if Torrey Smith is there. So this is going to be a fun battle between these Eagles corners and Panthers receivers because there's so much diversity and versatility between both of these groups that I just think it's going to be a fun chess match.
I like exactly what you said about putting Rasul on Funchess when he is in the slot because Funchess isn't a threat to take the top off at defense. He works well in short and intermediate areas, and I think that's where Rasul Douglas works best, especially if you're going to jam him. You don't want 5'9" Avante Maddox covering Devin Funchess,
who's
an absolutely outstanding jump ball catcher. You do not want that. So let Avante Rove single higher if you do cover two, and Malcolm's back there, but I would like to see Malcolm play up in the box more just because I think Christian McCaffrey is going to be a big element in this game, so they're going to have to do some changes in coverages between Bradham and Jenkins. Just don't give them the same look every time on McCaffrey. Make them think a little more, but I think it's a great idea to put Rasul in the slot when Funchess is there because you saw what he did last year. I thought that was his best game of the season. He's very good at closing on balls, and I think this is a game that he's going to walk away with an interception if he's on the field for more than 30 snaps.
I mean, he almost did it in, what, his second snap last game? I mean,
he did it in his first snap of the season.
So, look, I think regardless, they're going to have to use Douglas in this one, even if Mills is healthy, because like you said, they're going to have Malcolm Jenkins come down with McCaffrey. We saw it in the Super Bowl last year. Jenkins was shadowing James White and Deion Lewis a lot in that game. Wherever they were going, Malcolm Jenkins was following. So you're not going to be able to have him deep as much as you were last game against the Giants. And what, do you want DeAndre Hall back there alone? Or
no.
I mean, even Rasul Douglas. I mean, they might prefer to put Maddox back there and have Mills come down if there's a shiftier small receiver in the slot and have Douglas on the outside. Or if, again, one of the bigger guys is inside, like Greg Olsen or, you know, Devin Funchess, then Douglas goes inside and Mills splits out wide. So I'm very interested to see how the Panthers use their weapons and how the Eagles combat that with their secondary. It's really a fun matchup to watch. One more, Gino, that I wrote down was these quarterbacks against the linebackers. We both talked about how similar these teams are built when it comes to the quarterback position and with the linebackers. I think RPOs have not been used as much from the Eagles this year. Doug Peterson mentioned how teams have gotten better at covering them. I think both of these teams, though, are going to try to use stuff like that to get the linebackers off their spot, to get them moving, to clear up that middle of the field, because Nigel Bradham and Jordan Hicks, and then the trio of Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, and Shaq Thompson, I don't know if there's better tandems for coverage linebackers in football.
I think you have some of the best talent in regards to coverage linebackers in
this
game.
This might be the best matchup.
I agree 100%. And like I mentioned in my last talking point, when Malcolm is going to play closer to the line, he's going to be covering Christian McCaffrey. You're going to have somebody spy Cam Newton, and you want it to be a big body like Nigel Bradham, who played like an absolute man possessed the last time
they
played.
Yeah, he was amazing last game. He was one of the main reasons they won.
Linebacking games I've ever seen out of an Eagles linebacker. He was on another level, and I think this is the game that he can really take over too, and they're going to have to. They design runs for Cam Newton on every single situation, every down and distance, every formation package, every personnel grouping. He is a weapon. You can't just drop eight like normal. You have to account for him at all times. It's going to be fun to watch just because it's going to be a defensive chess match. On the other side of the ball, Carson Wentz, he likes to get the ball out of his hands quick, and these linebackers play really close to the line of scrimmage. So how is he going to combat that? Are they going to work on a lot of quick screens, quick slants? Are they going to get Ertz in 8 to 10 yard routes? It's going to be interesting to see which team is able to scheme better because both of these quarterbacks, they are weapons. Carson Wentz, not as much, a la that knee injury, but they're both big-bodied guys who, when they get out of the pocket, they are not easy to take down, and you have to account for them. And that's really what separates the men from the boys, I like to think, in the defensive coordinator realm. It's easy to scheme when you have 11 guys and they have 10. I mean, it's not easy, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But when you have an 11 on 11 with a quarterback that can run any type of run that a running back can, you really got to get creative with what you do. Can you not blitz as much to leave them susceptible to a pass? Like, it's going to be very, very fun to watch. And I'm really not looking forward to it because I saw how it went last year, and I saw Cam Newton break off a couple big runs. And
that's the thing. Mariota gave the Eagles fits last time the Eagles played a mobile quarterback, and
they've
Newton
been
so
pretty
far
good
this
with
year.
Mobile quarterbacks, though, surprisingly.
But they're a very instinctive defense, though, and that's what I'm concerned with. Where Mariota was doing a lot of improv type runs, it wasn't a lot of drawn up stuff from Tennessee. With the Panthers, again, I think they're gonna try to fool this. They're both offenses, again, I think are gonna do a lot of misdirection. They're gonna try to fool these linebackers because both defenses fly to the football, and that's where, you know, the triple option with the Panthers comes in. That you have to make sure that you have all those options locked down. I mean, there's so many options in that Panthers offense that you gotta. I mean, read and react is the way the Eagles play, but if you miss, this Panthers team could really get you. But it's also with the Eagles, too. I can't wait to see what Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz do to go after Luke Kuechly and those linebackers, right? I mean, it's just, again, a chess match that we're talking about, all the matchups on the field. This coaching battle, too, is going to be really fun to watch because, I mean, the Panthers, too, they might send some blitzes. I saw a lot of crossdogs the past couple of weeks with those linebackers. So I think, really, quarterbacks versus linebackers, Carson Wentz versus Luke Kuechly and Cam Newton versus, you know, Nigel Bradham and Jordan Hicks as well, those are some of the matchups that I think are going to be really fun. This is, Gino, I think this is going to be an awesome game to watch.
Yeah, I'm expecting a battle. I said yesterday to Bill that if the Eagles are able to impose their will on the defensive line, are using their defensive line on the offensive line of Carolina, I think it could get out of hand very quickly because that offensive line is beaten down and Carolina hasn't been able to vertically get the ball down the field. So if you're able to contain them...
Right, if they can't formulate any of those quick behind-the-line-of-scrimmage plays, that could disrupt everything they want to do.
Correct, because I think that's the only way you're going to beat the Eagles, who haven't been the most sure-handed tackling team this year. You want to get guys in space. You saw what the Giants did with Saquon Barkley, and he broke off runs that Christian McCaffrey is more than capable of breaking off himself, as he is quite the back... and quite the weapon in general, and they have to account for him, and they have to make sure they tackle this game.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, to wrap up the show, we're going to talk about what I teased in the first segment. Both of these teams got elite defensive players in that 2012 first round of the NFL draft, with Luke Kuechly going to the Panthers and Fletcher Cox coming to the Eagles. We're going to talk about who got the better player. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast.
Yeah, Lou, real quick, we just want to get a shout-out to one of our great sponsors, Swap.com. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand-name clothes? I mean, Nike shorts can cost you $50 for a piece of clothing that doesn't even cover your leg? That's crazy to me. So why do we buy kids new clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Doesn't make much sense. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. Swap.com. The world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to the store and another store and another store and sifting through racks and easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find exactly what you need. With over 14 million tons of textiles wasted each year. Think about that. Think of how many elephants in textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting our environment, which is something you can feel good about. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With swap.com, you can save up to 90% retail on your favorite brands with Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, Gap, and the list goes on and on. Quality hand-inspected items are added every single day, and if something doesn't fit you, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. So for our listeners, we have a special offer for you. Get 35% off select items on your first order with promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. And you can find new deals every single day on Swap.com's homepage. So check them out, Swap.com. I use it. Louis uses it. Go give them a look.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri on this Thursday edition of the show, October 18th. We are just a couple days away from the Eagles taking on the Carolina Panthers at Lincoln Financial Field. Eagles 3-3, Panthers 3-2. Gino, that's a big part of this too. Eagles at home, at the Link, that's a big part of this as well. They've had to play the Panthers on the road the past two matchups.
I think this is very big, especially after what the fans saw against Minnesota. That place is going to be rocking and rolling. I think it's going to be a great environment after what the team did last game. Their emotions are high, so I think it's going to be very fun in Lincoln Financial Field.
It put some life back into the season, and for the fans too, because there were a lot of fans worried about the state of this season. So I talked about in the first segment how we were going to get to this next thing, and it's in 2012, the Panthers took Luke Kuechly, 7th overall, out of Boston College. Only a couple guys, another Boston College elite player in the NFL. There's only two of them, Matt Ryan and Luke Kuechly, but another Boston College guy. And then from Mississippi State, Fletcher Cox comes over to the Philadelphia Eagles at pick 12. The Eagles move up to get him. Both guys, Pro Bowlers, elite defensive players. If you're starting teams from scratch, Gino, we're building the defense, these two are probably going as one of the top, both of them are going as some of the top defensive players that you want. But now I want to talk about who got the better defensive player, because both, again, are elite. But who do you think got the better elite defensive player?
Well, yeah, I think this is the first time that Carolina did this to us of picking a guy who I really wanted. As soon as they came up in 2012 with that 9th pick, I knew they were going to take Luke Kuechly. It was too good to pass up. There were guys taken before him, such as Justin Blackmon and Maurice Claiborne and Mark Barron, who had no right being selected in front of either of those two.
Hey, Maurice Claiborne's kind of made a bit of a comeback with the Jets, though.
Yeah, he's flying around
up
there.
I'm always seeing
Pro
Football Focus talking about him.
Well, we are sure glad that Luke Kuechly did not go to the Dallas Cowboys, because definitely, I would not want to play him twice a year. I hate playing him once every single year, it feels like, you know. But, yeah, to move up to 12 to get Fletcher Cox, thank you, Andy Reid, for that being your final first-round pick, because the guy is playing to an elite level, a level that I have rarely seen in the past couple years for defensive tackles outside of guys like Aaron Donald, maybe Geno Atkins, those couple. But I think to argue this is so difficult, because the Eagles have really struggled to find solid linebackers until they got Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham. But
remember the days of Jamar Chaney and Keaton Clayton and Brian Roll?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mentioned some bad names there, huh? Just opened
I like to put those in the way, way back of my memory and not even think about them. But, yeah, it would be nice to have Luke Kuechly. But the thing is, the reason I would take Fletcher Cox is because the best what is the saying? I can't even think of it. The best trait is availability, we'll say.
Yes.
Luke Kuechly,
the best ability is availability.
The best ability is availability. Yes, that's a Sean McDermott quote.
Oh,
for
God, I knew that sounded like a Sean McDermott type of thing.
It was. I had it stored away.
Good Lord.
To use in a moment like this. But
did he get that from Jim Johnson, or did he come up on that on his own?
I'm sure it came down the tree. Which that coaching staff, watching the Brian Dawkins film on Friday night, was impeccable. Jim Johnson, Sean McDermott, the list goes on and on of guys that they had on that staff that just have been very, very good coaches in this league.
But you're right, though. Kuechly, like, he's one concussion away from almost not being able to play football anymore.
Yeah, and he's had some knee injuries. He's banged up, but that's what you get for being involved in every single tackle on every single play. But that just goes to show the type of player he is. But I would take Fletcher Cox. I know I'm a little biased because he's a Philadelphia Eagle, but he's going to be here from the beginning of his career, hopefully to the end of his career. And that position, guys play for a very long time. I mean, look at Haloti Ngata. He's in his upper 30s, and he could probably play maybe one or two more seasons. So to have a guy like Fletcher Cox be around for 12 to 13 years is a hell of a first round pick, especially at number 12, with guys like Claiborne, Barron, and Blackmon getting selected before him, and in a very deep class with other guys like, let's say, Chandler Jones, Harrison Smith, Janoris Jenkins. Like, you got the cream of a crop in a very, very deep defensive class. So to say that he was the right pick, I think is an understatement, because he should have been picked in the top three of that draft.
I'm with you, and I would just rather have an elite pass rusher than an elite linebacker. And truthfully, and by the way, the poll results, I mean, we were talking about, I mean, yeah, Fletcher Cox is the Eagle, so we might be a little bit biased towards it. But the poll, it's pretty split. 52% do say Fletcher Cox, but 48% say Luke Kuechly. And he was one of the guys, you mentioned it. We did a podcast on it in June. You can go check that out. It's still up on the podcast feed. Eagles that never were Eagles. So the guys that, man, you're just like, he was almost on our team, and it would have been so cool if we had him. And Luke Kuechly was one of those guys for a lot of people, a lot of the listeners that talked about that show. And I think, though, still the Eagles got the better player. And truthfully, I think Cox's overall numbers would be better if he didn't spend three seasons eating up double teams, eating up blocks for linebackers in Chip Kelly's 3-4 and Billy Davis's 3-4 defense under Chip Kelly. So to me, if he was always playing in this Jim Schwartz freestyle, go get the guy, go get the quarterback type of defense for his entire career, I think we would be talking about him even with higher praise than we are right now.
I think the main reason that we talk about Aaron Donald more than Fletcher Cox is for that reason in particular, is that,
and
because
also,
Aaron Donald has been playing that role that he was designed for,
and
to
Cox
get after
too,
the quarterback.
Cox, too, has not been used as an edge rusher a whole lot in his Eagles career. He did a good amount against the Giants last week, but that's something Aaron Donald gets a lot of looks on the edge as well, and I feel like Fletcher Cox could take advantage of a one-on-one matchup on the edge, on the outside, you know what I'm saying? And I think that, too, Cox is so good up in the middle, and the Eagles have had so many good pass rushers at defensive end that he hasn't been used in that way either. So I feel like Cox could have had an even better start to his career so far. So I agree with the poll. 52% of you say Fletcher Cox, 48% say Luke Kuechly. But once again, two dominant elite defensive players in the NFL, and I'm just glad the Eagles got one of them in that draft. And again, thank you, Kansas City, for taking Don Terry Poe. That's how I'm going to wrap up the show, because they could have easily
Don
took
Terry
Fletcher
Poe
Cox.
Is a Carolina Panther now, just so you know.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. Good Lord, that's true.
How time is a flat circle.
Absolutely. All right, Gino, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thanks to everyone for listening to the show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you can find the show. We are up and available. Check it out as well, LockedOnEagles.com. Follow myself at DiBiaseLOE on Twitter, Gino at Gino_LOE, and the official Locked On Eagles account at Locked On Birds. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.